Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dare to compare. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in to everybody to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia with me today is the King of Bros, Derek Brown, D-Bro himself, and the Oracle, Matthew Friedman, joining us after a very long birthday celebration. He decided to come back to work here on a Friday and record a podcast with us. And today's show is a very exciting one because today is not a mock draft. No. We're going to take a pause from that. We're going to talk about early running back and quarterback rankings. And our two friends here today decided rather than have a duel, no pistols at dawn, instead we do a podcast at 1:30. That's the device they've chosen to settle some of these debates. But it's always good to hear why some analysts are higher on certain players than others and why maybe we should practice some caution with those same players. So I like to get two sides of the argument, and these boys here are going to have a gentleman's argument today. Before we get going on the show, I want to remind everybody, too, we do have our rookie draft kit that's available at fantasypros.com/rookie. With the NFL draft coming up, I'm telling you, this is the way to get prepared for it. We've got dynasty rankings, trade advice, startup advice. You got the rookie draft strategies, the prospects, the veterans. Everything is in there, including the mock drafts and the latest news. So go and become a premium member today so you have access to the entire kit. Some of it's for free. But if you want to be where the cool kids are, make sure you sign up at fantasypros.com/rookie for that and then become a premium member over at Fantasy Pros. And today's show is powered by our dissenting opinions tool, which is great. Now, I've been called a dissenting opinion tool by many people over the years here in the industry. And I feel like I finally landed on the right show for me with that kind of moniker. So at fantasypros.com/compare, you can compare your favorite analysts like me or Matthew Friedman or Derek Brown or Andrew Erickson was on vacation. How did that happen? I don't know. But at fantasypros.com/compare, that is where you can look at the different analysts that you like, the ones you respect, and the ones that you think have that key to unlock your fantasy success. Compare them all with our ECR tool. It's a really handy thing, and it's only at fantasypros.com/compare. So, gentlemen, I know we are kind of in this holding pattern now. We've had, Matthew, we've had a long NFL free agency. A lot of movements happened. It feels like a little bit of a lull before the next storm. Are you getting that same kind of feeling? Like this is the calm before the draft, which is going to heat up again in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, very much looking forward to the draft. And by the way, shout out to Andrew Erickson, who isn't just on vacation. He's also on a business trip because the dude got engaged a couple of days ago. Good for him locking down his 101 pick in the dynasty draft of life. Yeah, very much looking forward to the NFL draft coming up in a few weeks.
Yes, hopefully that all works out for him and he doesn't end up on the waiver wire sooner than later. You never know. And Derek Brown, for you, my friend, I'm sorry, I couldn't pass up that joke. Andrew, I love you. I kid. Congratulations. Derek Brown, How about you, buddy? How are you doing with this little, again, it's like a calm, but you know, deep down the next couple weeks is going to get red hot again with more NFL movement because the draft always pushes us towards that.
Oh, absolutely. It's the calm before the storm. And then right now we're, you know, we get to file in the rookies after the NFL draft. I mean, really, like you said, Joe, we're in a holding pattern outside of like a little Melvin Gordon rumblings earlier today. That's about it. Like past that, we're just in a holding pattern. It's just cruise control until we get to the NFL draft.
Yes. And to be clear, everybody, there's a reason why I'm still on the waiver wire in life, too. I mean, clearly, I mean, Andrew Erickson, certainly he's the dynasty commitment guy, not me. I'm just floating out there. No bids. It's very sad. But anyway, let's talk about some of these opinions today. Let's talk about the early running back and quarterback rankings, because if you are in those startup dynasty leagues, I'm in one that's happening right now. If you're just trying to start to organize your thoughts for the season, this is very important because knowing where you want to value certain players gives you that strategy to enter the season. So let's kick things off here and let's start here with one of Derek Brown's guys. Now, I was in a draft yesterday on CBS with some of our friends in the industry there, and Leonard Fournette went in the second round. And it looks like, Derek, you are 8 spots higher on Leonard Fournette than Mr. Friedman. So talk to me about Leonard Fournette. The stats certainly bear this out, that he deserves to be in that kind of range. You have him 8th overall. But why is it you think some people still are hesitant to put him there?
Honestly, I have a hard time wrapping my head around why people are like hesitant to put Leonard Fournette this high. I mean, we saw last year he was basically their do-it-all back. He ran routes. He caught passes when he was the unquestioned RB1, which we should believe that he is going to roll back into that role and he's going to be running routes. It's not going to be a Gio Bernard situation. He's a top 5 running back in fantasy. So I have no problems taking him at the back end of round 1, the top end of round 2, because I don't think anybody's going to threaten the role for him. And as long as we're projecting health, which at this point we really can't like project injuries moving forward for a player even like Fournette, I feel really comfortable. He's a rock solid. I have him at RB8 right now in my rankings.
Now, Friedman, the stats bear out this kind of ranking for Fournette. So does the fact he's playing in a Tom Brady-led offense again, so that certainly helps. So is it just a matter of the age factor of why you might have Fournette a little bit lower?
Yeah, that's a little bit of it. Part is that there is change in Tampa Bay, so Bruce Arians isn't there anymore. We assume that the offense is going to look the same, but I don't know if we can like definitely take that as a certainty. Leonard Fournette getting a year older, Tom Brady retiring and then coming back. Like it's a little bit of change. And then I feel as if there are guys that I just like a little bit better and some guys who might ascend. DeAndre Swift, if he stays healthy for the full year, I feel like he's someone, because of his receiving capability, who should probably be ranked ahead of Leonard Fournette. Last year, I wouldn't have felt the same way. James Conner, a guy that I feel has RB1 capabilities now that he's the locked-in lead back, presumably in Arizona. I have him ahead of Leonard Fournette. I wouldn't have had that last year. So I think it's just a matter of a few guys moving up my rankings, and Fournette, I feel like I'm not low on Fournette. I feel like I like him fine. It's just there are other guys I like a little bit more.
That is absolutely fair. Let's go to your number 8 RB, who happens to be Nick Chubb. And you know, I'm the president of the Chubb Club here, and I have been that leading member for quite some time. I love the idea of Nick Chubb being in offense led by Deshaun Watson. So you've got him all the way up 6 spots higher than our friend Derek Brown. So talk to me, Matt, about why you're so enthusiastic about Nick Chubb in 2022.
Well, Joe, I wouldn't presume to know your status on Chubb, but I like him quite a bit. I feel this is a don't overthink it kind of draft pick. High floor, high ceiling. I think he's a better receiver than a lot of people expect. He just doesn't get the opportunity as much, or he hasn't gotten much opportunity to be a receiver, but new quarterback in town, and he has that high ceiling of being the best pure runner in the league. And that high floor, over 100 scrimmage yards per game over the past 3 years, 8, 12, 9 touchdowns in the past 3 years. And that offense could be better with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and we'll talk about this later. I think there's a chance Watson plays more games than most people expect. So that could really drive the scoring opportunities within that offense, which means more touchdown opportunities flowing at the goal line to Nick Chubb.
Now, Derek, is the Watson uncertainty the reason you have Chubb where you have him? Or is this more based on something you've seen out of Chubb the last few years while you have him a little bit lower than Friedman?
I've got him a little bit lower only because, and this has nothing to do with the talent. I love Nick Chubb, and I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him in this upcoming season because for him to go on a run like Jonathan Taylor went last year, it's firmly in his range of outcomes. Like, I won't be surprised if they ever gave him the full-time role and stopped messing around with Kareem Hunt, whoever else to take pass routes away. Hell, he doesn't even have to be like an 80, 90% snap guy. Like, just give the guy 60, 65% of the snaps. If that was the case, Nick Chubb would lead the league in rushing yards. Like, I would say, I mean, he'd be a dark horse for 2,000 rushing yards, easy. And I know that sounds really hyperbolic, but it just comes down to the fact of like what we've seen Cleveland just put the shackles on him year after year. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But if they're going to continue to keep doing this with him, it's hard for me to be extremely bullish. Although I love Nick Chubb and I've got him at RB14. He just falls into a category of a bunch of other guys where I think they're going to get a lot of volume. I'm not sure like they have upside, but the cuffs on their pass game usage is what hurts them a little bit for me in rankings.
Although you make some very good points. Go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead,
one quick thing to throw
in.
Do it. I agree with Derek's position there. I will say, though, that I don't think Chubb is going to be used any less this year than he has in previous seasons. And he's had 100 yards per game on the average over the past 3 years. So that's a really high floor. And if he's used just a little bit more, then I think he could start to approach a ceiling. But for me, it's a high floor play.
Well, also the addition of Deshaun Watson, we're talking about a more prolific possible offense, which always leads to more fantasy points, correct, mm-hmm. Matt?
Yeah, I'm with you there. The Watson addition is something that I think could drive a lot of extra touchdown opportunities.
Now, Derek, I'll give you a week to think about the Nick Chubb ranking, and then after that, you will get a harshly worded letter from the vice president and president of the Chubb Club. All right, let's move on to the next person here. Number 13 on your rankings, Derek Brown, is Saquon Barkley. So still giving love to Saquon. You are five spots higher than Matthew Friedman on Saquon. I got to ask you, you know, I see you've dropped him out of RB1. That makes a lot of sense. But when do we stop anointing Saquon Barkley? When do we finally have to get hit over the head with this? And what is it you see in him that puts him still at this range for you where you're willing to take the plunge?
It's upside. It's absolute upside. And if the Giants show somewhat of a semblance of a functional offense and we don't see quarterback sneaks on third and long, which we should bake that into Brian Daboll, like Saquon Barkley is walking into a year where he has all the motivation in the world to blow it away. Like he's in a contract year. There's already been rumblings where the Giants are going out and they're looking in the draft for maybe a running back as his replacement. So you look at running backs walking into contract seasons, and hell, just like NFL players in general, they want to get these second contracts. And I understand Saquon's been banged up and the situation was terrible. We talk about like all these different things with the Jaguars about the situation couldn't be any worse. That needs to float also over to the Giants. Like, you can't do a worse job on offense, directing a team, anything that Joe Judge did last year. If we believe that like Saquon Barkley still has it in his range of outcomes to run a lot of routes, get targets, be an integral cog in this offense, and hell, if the Giants take a tackle at the top of the NFL draft and now you have Andrew Thomas and another guy bookending and we get some competent blocking, Saquon Barkley still has in his range of outcomes to be a top five running back this season. So I can only push him so far down my board.
Friedman, when does chasing upside become our fantasy downfall?
I just got to say, out of everything that Derek said there, I didn't hear two words. Daniel Jones. That's the answer. All right, new coaching staff. That's great. Let's assume Saquon Barkley is healthy. Let's assume it's a better offensive line in front of him. Assume all of that. Daniel Jones is still his quarterback, which means he will have limited touchdown upside. And that is why I'm a little bit lower on Saquon.
Are you rooting for Tyrod Taylor to take that job over, or?
I mean, I don't know if I'm rooting for anything when it comes to the Giants, and I'm saying that as a Cowboys fan, but as a fantasy fan, I would say I don't know if it matters if it's Tyrod Taylor or if it's Daniel Jones. I don't think it matters. I think Saquon, because of the total situation he's in, isn't going to have the upside we want.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. It's NFL draft season, and if you want the 1-1 pick for your ones and twos, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to take your pants off or take your shirt off and then all of a sudden see the fastest 40 time from your significant other that you ever seen in your whole life. No, no, no. What you need is the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped, and it's available right now, 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP. 4 million men worldwide are using the most elite electric trimmer. Why aren't you? What's your problem? I'm telling you right now. You want to talk about great offensive linemen. You want to talk about great defense. How about the great defense for your body hair getting out of control and you looking like a hot mess? Now listen to me very carefully, boys and girls. Manscaped is the products you need, including some of their skin-safe technology on that Lawnmower 4.0. They've also got the Crop Preserver, which is anti-chafing ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, which is a spray-on toner so you look extra springy with a little spring in your step. Now look, Manscaped isn't giving this stuff away for free, but they are going to give you 20% off and free shipping. And that's also on the cologne, the body wash, the shampoo that's 2-in-1, and the aluminum-free deodorant. I mean, this is the greatest package for your package that's ever been put forth. And you can have it all with the promo code JOEYP. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping on me, JOEYP, at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And now back to the action. All right, let's move on to another guy from Friedman's list. Aaron Jones is RB15 after missing some time last year. A six-spot difference. You're six spots higher on Aaron Jones than Derek Brown. With all of the A.J. Dillon we saw last year, especially in the passing game, which was a surprise for a lot of us, why do you have Aaron Jones quite where you do, so much higher than Derek Brown?
I got to say, I'm looking at this. I honestly think I need to move him up a little bit more. I think he's got a high yardage floor. He's got a touchdown floor. He's a good receiving back. Yes, AJ Dillon did surprise in that he was a competent receiver, but that doesn't mean that Aaron Jones isn't going to get opportunities flowing his way. I think he has a high ceiling because of his offense, and he could have an expanded role in the receiving game because there's no Davante Adams. You know, splits can be a little misleading sometimes, but if you look at what Aaron Jones did with seven games without Davante Adams over the past 3 years, I mean, he just balled out. 16.5 PPR points per game versus 26 PPR points per game without Davante Adams. And a lot of that was because he was getting extra targets and he was getting more usage in the red zone. With no Davante Adams, they're not going to throw the ball to as many wide receivers. They're going to hand the ball off a little bit more. So I think there's upside here, both as a guy who might get more scoring opportunities and as a guy who might get more targets coming his direction. And I still expect with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback of that offense, it's not going to be diminished all that much without Davante Adams there. So I'm still pretty enthusiastic about what they have in Green Bay, and that means fantasy points flowing to Aaron Jones.
Now, for those of you watching us on our YouTube channel of Fantasy Pros, you'll have seen Derek Brown adjust his hat while Mr. Friedman was speaking. So that means that Derek has got some feelings, and sometimes those feelings bubble up to the top. He's got to readjust the hat and put it back down. So now that you've had a chance to do that, Derek, how do you feel about Aaron Jones? And I know that narrative's out there right now where people say, well, they're going to use the running backs a whole lot more, but that's going to change in the draft when they draft one wide receiver, maybe two, or make a trade for one. That's still going to happen. So walk me through your thoughts on Aaron Jones.
The problems that I have with Aaron Jones this year, it goes back to what we saw down the stretch run. Yes, he was banged up a little bit down the stretch last year, but A.J. Dillon just cannibalized all of his touchdown opportunities. Weeks 14 through 17, Dillon got 13 opportunities inside the 20. Aaron Jones only got three. Now, does that roll back into this season? Maybe, maybe not. But even if A.J. Dillon is only, if he gets 50% of the inside of the 20 work, then we're looking at Aaron Jones is going to be hard capped unless he's making up a lot of that production with what he does in the passing game. And I know Friedman's made the point about quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers is still going to be fantastic this year from a NFL perspective and how well he can play. I don't think he's like reached the cliff or anything like that. But right now, with the wide receiver depth chart the way it is right now, without knowing what they're going to do in the NFL draft, and we've seen the Green Bay Packers, like, this all screams, yes, they should draft wide receivers, but they've done some crazy things in the past and still not address the position. I still think they probably grab one, but even, like, say they don't grab two, they grab one rookie wide receiver. How much does that raise this offense as a whole? and touchdown opportunities for an offense that they have relied immensely, and Aaron Rodgers has relied immensely upon efficiency in previous seasons with the touchdowns. Because the pace of this offense is like a damn snail. They've been bottom three in neutral script pace over the last 2 to 3 seasons. Now, maybe that's Hackett. But with LaFleur staying there, if they run slow this year and just grind out games, and this offense is not as efficient as it's been in the past, and Aaron Jones can't make up the lost production maybe from touchdowns in the passing game, I've got a lot of concerns about Aaron Jones this year. Not even talking about age as part of a factor.
Well, Friedman, what do you make of the case too? I mean, he is a little bit older. People forget, you know, Aaron Jones is not quite the 24-year-old running back. He's had his 2 to 3 year window, which is typically what most of these running backs get. How do you account for that in your evaluation of him, especially with the presence of AJ Dillon, despite the fact we might have to use them more in this offense because the lack of wide receiver depth that they have?
I think this is going to be a more of a running back focused offense. So I think there will be room enough for both of them to eat. And I do think without Davante Adams, Aaron Jones will be used more in the receiving game, which is friendlier than him being used, you know, on 250 carries per year, running into the back of his offensive lineman and getting hit by defensive linemen. Right. So that will help mitigate the age a little bit, because receiving backs can last a little bit longer in the NFL.
All right, fair enough. Look at him. He had a good answer. That's why he's the Oracle. He knows these things. Let's talk about Michael Carter. Derek Brown, you have him ranked at 19. You're 4 spots higher. Not an enormous amount, but still a little bit of a difference. Kind of faded towards the end a little bit. Now you can put that on the fact that it's the rookie curve and he got tired towards the end of the year, but he did show some glimpses at times. So what are your thoughts this year going into 2022 on Michael Carter in this Jets offense?
I love Michael Carter. Loved him last year. Love him again this year. I wrote him up in my RB3s with RB1 potential, the article that's live on the site right now. And he has that type of upside. Just when we saw last year in games where he played 50% more of the snaps, the guy was basically a lock set forget top 24 running back. The efficiency was there. I mean, multiple elusivity metrics that I give a crap about. He was top 12, top 15 in. We've seen the pass game usage and the upside in that aspect. Now, I know the splits with Zach Wilson and all that kind of stuff. The Jets offensive line was quietly really, really good down the stretch. They were a top 10 run blocking offensive line. They've made improvements in the offseason to that. I think they're going to be even better this year. As long as the Jets don't add a running back in the top 2 to 3 rounds, Michael Carter, I mean, the sky's the limit. I think that he could explode this year.
Now, again, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you saw Matthew Friedman go to the chapstick to prepare his arguments to make sure that his lips were perfectly moist to
make sure there wasn't any friction.
That's no friction. So he can move at a very fast pace to talk about Michael Carter in this Jets offense. So, again, it's not a huge differential, but a differential nonetheless. So, Friedman, what are your thoughts on Michael Carter heading into this season?
You know, I actually have nothing bad to say about Michael Carter. I agree with everything Debro said. I like him. I think he's got a lot of upside. And there's a chance that, you know, with the 4th pick or the 10th pick in this draft, we see the Jets take another offensive lineman who could potentially aid Michael Carter in blocking. So nothing bad to say about Michael Carter. But if I'm looking at a second year running back at cost, or, you know, at wherever it is that I'm thinking about drafting these guys, I have Michael Carter number 23. I have Ramondre Stevenson number 33. I would actually rather take Ramondre Stevenson. And again, that's not me saying anything bad about Michael Carter, but what I like about Stevenson, where he's going in the draft, you know, RB3, RB4, I'm looking for upside. And I think at that point, I want guys who can become league winners if they fall into the right situations. I think Stevenson has that upside. Like, the talent is there. He's big and athletic. He can be a grinder in the LeGarrette Blount kind of role, but he can also do a lot in the passing game, at least more than Damian Harris has been able to do. And I like Harris. This isn't a knock against Harris, but last year the Patriots trusted Stevenson more as a receiver. I think he has 3-down potential. And even if he doesn't see a lot of 3-down work, he could still see a lot of yards and touchdowns on the ground. So I get the Michael Carter enthusiasm. I would say I would just want to wait 10 running backs and take Ramondre Stevenson later.
I took Stevenson yesterday as my 3rd running back in that CBS mock draft I was invited to. And I had Gibson as my 2nd running back, Henry as my 1. And I waited and I got Stevenson. And my thought process was, Matt, was you want backup running backs or secondary running backs on teams that you know are committed to running the football. And the Patriots are one of those teams, the Ravens, like if you can get Gus Edwards late, another guy we're going to talk about here. Now you're 8 spots higher on Ramondre Stevenson. You just gave a great blurb about him and why you should be looking at him. But again, 8 spots, that's a big difference. So what are you not seeing that Friedman is, Derek, when it comes to Stevenson?
So you will not hear any kind of slander about Ramondre Stevenson out of my mouth. I love him. I love him as a talent. I gobbled him up in every dynasty rookie draft I possibly could last year. The worry that I have for Stevenson is just what the Patriots showed us this offseason. They brought James White back. He's going to be healthy. He's going to have a role in this offense. So if we're looking at a hard cap for Stevenson's production and accessing that type of uber ceiling as being a three down workhorse, which if they gave him the ability to do that, heck yes. Like I'm in totally for that. My worry is that James White is still really, really good at what he does on the NFL field. He's going to be healthy this year. And unfortunately, I think he is going to have a consistent weekly role in this offense.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. PristineAuction.com is the coolest place to get the hottest swag and memorabilia for your office, for your den, for your living room, for your friends, for your enemies. I'm telling you, if you want the latest in terms of autographed jerseys, we're talking autographed helmets, we're talking sports cards, memorabilia all over the place for different sports and not just sports stuff. We're talking artwork, we're talking Marvel, we're talking professional wrestling, you name it, Pristine Auction has got it. And guess what, kids? It's free to bid. All you need to do is sign up for an account today at Pristine Auction. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS and get a $5 credit on us when you do. Everything there is authentic, and it's backed by their guarantee of authenticity that all the items come with. Plus, things are affordable there as well. We're talking about things you can get for $20, $50. If you want to spend thousands, hey, that's on you. Buy me something nice when you do. But I'm telling you right now, you can only get it if you start bidding today. That's at pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And now, back to the action.
All right, let's move to another running back here who I think is a really sneaky play this year in terms of draft stock, and it's Chase Edmonds. He is at 25. Now, I know he's been hurt a lot, but there were some moments last year where he certainly looked like he was at his peak. Unfortunately, another injury did happen. You are 9 spots higher on Chase Edmonds than Matthew Friedman, Derek. So do you think that obviously from this ranking that Edmonds is far and away the head of this monster right now? Because there are some bodies there in Mostert. Gaskin's still there, a few other names still on this roster. But do you think Edmonds is basically the foregone conclusion to be the best guy? And is that why you're so much higher?
I think that they're going to run the ball a lot in Miami. This is not just like a lazy San Francisco narrative. They beefed up the offensive line. We know that McDaniel, I mean, he's come out and talked about how like the offense builds off the run and the ability to run the ball. Chase Edmonds, all we got to see is health and volume, and I think that he gets a bump in the volume aspect this year behind what is going to be a massively improved offensive line. He was super efficient on the volume that he got last year. And even from a perspective of he doesn't need 20 carries in a game, because the pass game usage that we saw in Arizona, I think that he's gonna own the passing down work over Raheem Mostert. Now, Mostert's going to cut into his early down, but all we have to see is touchdowns. Because the pass game work's going to be there. I like Edmonds a ton this year. I think we could have been just a year early on Chase Edmonds' season.
All right. I want to hear, is it Chase Edmonds' season for you, Matthew Friedman? I mean, Mostert's 29. He's been on 6 teams in his NFL career already before landing with Miami. He's always hurt. Why is Edmonds still 9 spots differential? Why are you 9 spots lower on Edmonds than Debro?
I mean, I feel like we've been a year early on Chase Edmonds 3 years in a row now. This is the type of situation.
I can't argue against that.
No, I mean, I got nothing. Edmonds hasn't done anything close to what Raheem Mostert has done in his NFL career, at least like in a stretch run. Now, I got 2 things to say in terms of a rebuttal. One is that there is a chance, non-zero chance, that Chase Edmonds is the worst of the 3 running backs in Miami. Now, the coaching staff probably doesn't think that, because they brought in 2 outside guys while Gaskin was there. But Gaskin really might be able to do what Chase Edmonds does, maybe a little bit better than Chase Edmonds. Like, I'm just saying there's a chance. And then the second thing is, even if Chase Edmonds does win out as the lead back, I think that the two guys behind him and Mostert and Gaskin are going to eat enough that it's not going to matter that Edmonds is the lead dog. It's not going to be lead dog territory that helps you win a fantasy championship. It's going to be a guy who actually damages you because you think he's good enough to put in your starting lineup, but he actually isn't. So I am going to have zero Chase Edmonds this year. Like, he for me is a full on fade.
Woo! Now, Derek Brown, I have to say, there's a really easy rebuttal here to the argument that Matt just made, which is Raheem Mostert is 29 and misses a ton of time. He is always hurt. So by default, is Chase Edmonds just the guy for you in that backfield?
I mean, look, this team has tried to replace Myles Gaskin so many times, and we have better talent than freaking Malcolm Brown and company now. So now with Chase Edmonds in town, and yes, Raheem Mostert can't stay. I love Raheem Mostert. For the life of me, I can't bring any words to flow from my mouth to slander the man, because I've been a truther since way back. But it's a fact. If Raheem Mostert makes it through the entire season fully healthy, I'm not going to say I'm going to be surprised, but it's a little bit of a stretch. So if I don't think that Myles Gaskin is the guy, because they've been trying, hell, they went out in the NFL draft, and if they didn't get hopped in the NFL draft by a trade, maybe Javonte Williams is in South Beach. So, you know, they've been trying to replace Myles Gaskin. So I don't even factor him in. I'm not worried one bit about Myles Gaskin. So if I believe that Raheem Mostert can't stay fully healthy, then yes, it's Chase Edmondson.
I got to tell you, I feel like they've been looking for a running back since Ricky Williams. I mean, it's been a long time since we got running backs in Miami that we feel really good about for an extended period of time. I want to actually ask you, Matt, about a ranking that you have, because you've had Ramondre Stevenson at 33. And then you've got, obviously, the other side, Gus Edwards is at 36 for Derek. Now, can you make the same case? I see that you are six spots lower on Gus Edwards, but does a lot of the same concept of what you were talking about with Stevenson, you know, a guy that's shown you he can do some things in his backfield, a team that's committed to running the football, do you think that Gus Edwards should be a little closer to Stevenson in your ranks?
Maybe. I do like Gus Edwards as a pure runner. I think one of the issues with him, though, is that he doesn't get the receiving workload and he's coming off injury. I mean, at that point, like, what am I really investing in? I'm hoping he gets a lot of touchdowns and hoping that, you know, maybe Dobbins isn't able to establish himself coming off of injury. I think there's significant rushing upside with Edwards in that offense, but I don't know. I think he's always going to be the second fiddle there.
All right, give me your thoughts on Gus Edwards. I love the Gus bus. Derek Brown, yes, he's coming off an injury, but so is J.K. Dobbins. I mean, these guys are all coming off injuries. So do you think that the later you get him, the better off you are? Or is he somebody worth being a little bit more aggressive on because the Ravens do want to run the football so much?
Well, I'm going to throw a curveball here. I updated my rankings this morning and I dropped Gus Edwards, so I'm pretty much in line with Freeman here. With the rumblings
that
of Melvin Gordon.
That makes no fun. That's no fun of the show.
Why not just being honest here, Joe? I mean, I was higher on Gus, but the thing about it is we've been hearing rumblings out of Baltimore with maybe they go with a middle round running back, somebody like that. Like, I don't think it's a day one, day two guy. But the more and more we've heard this, and now we hear the rumblings of Melvin Gordon is possibly going to sign. Heck, when you're listening to this episode, maybe he's already got the ink is dried on the contract. With all of this and putting this together and reading the tea leaves, I've had to come down on Gus Edwards. So I'm in line with Freeman on this one. There's actually not a fight to be had.
And full disclosure, we are recording this early on Friday. So if Melvin Gordon does sign, clearly there will be lots of adjustments there to Gordon, to Edwards, to J.K. Dobbins. So that does it for some of the running backs. Let's move and change gears over to the quarterbacks right now. And let's start with this new guy named Tom Brady, who, Derek Brown, you've got him as your sixth ranked quarterback. So that's pretty high for Tom Brady. But then again, Tom Brady did have 5,000 yards passing and did have, you know, I don't know, looked awesome again last year. And you have him seven spots higher than Matthew Friedman. So let's talk about the return of Tom Brady and why you're buying into it so hard in 2022.
Everything that we want out of a quarterback in fantasy and a passing offense, I mean, this is what we're seeing in Tampa. Unless that Todd Bowles has this magical, like, just he's going to have this effect on this offense, which I really think that it's going to be Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich, and they're going to put their heads together and we're going to see them roll back something really, really similar. And the other thing about this is that with Tampa Bay, this has been an awesome sense of continuity for this team. All of the players are coming back. You're saying the same mm-hmm. type of scheme. I don't think the Arians loss is going to be that much of a deterrent. This team was whatever you wanted to see out of Tom Brady. Yes, I understand he set records and for passing attempts. He could get really close to that pretty easily this season, considering I think they're going to be top five in neutral passing rate, and they're going to be near the top of the board in pace. If both of those things roll back, I mean, wheels up for Tom Brady yet again this year, because I didn't see him fall off a cliff at all as far as performance.
Now, Matthew Friedman, you are very big into the wagering market, and historically speaking, betting against Tom Brady has not been good for your wallet. So why now? Why are you starting now? Why are you so low on Tom Brady? What does he have to do to prove himself to you? What more do you need?
I don't know. Am I low on Brady? I mean, I think I'm probably near the consensus of the market here, but the statement that everyone's coming back, like, that's not accurate, actually. Chris Godwin, he's probably not going to be playing near the beginning of the season because of the ACL injury. Antonio Brown is gone. Their left guard is gone. Their right guard is gone. Now, they've been able to replace some of those people, but I don't think that it actually is just, and by the way, didn't even mention Gronk. Like, he's probably going to come back, but it's not certain that he's going to come back. So I would say that there are just the potential for some weaknesses here that didn't exist last year when they really were running it back with all 22 starters returning fresh off a championship. Brady, you know, he's in, but, you know, he did retire for like 40 days, you know, a nice little vacation. But I'm just saying, like, this isn't exactly the same circumstances that we had last year. And for as great as Brady is as a passer, he's not a running quarterback. And for fantasy, I just want to have some floor with those rushing quarterbacks.
All right. Fair enough. Good answer. He's always got answers, Derek. I don't know this guy. Got to keep an eye on this Oracle guy. He's got a lot of answers. All right, let's go to the next one here. Let's go to Deshaun Watson, who you are very excited about, Matthew Friedman, as am I. To me, there's two strategies. You can go out there and go get Josh Allen, or you can wait in those single quarterback leagues and go take Deshaun Watson and then take another quarterback with your last pick and be okay, hopefully. You've got him right now at 6. So you've put him right where his talent has him. You are 7 spots higher, though, than Derek Brown. So let's talk to here. You mentioned earlier about Watson. We were talking about Chubb. Maybe there's that potential where, hey, this potential suspension might be a little bit shorter than we realize. Is that what you're banking on and baking into this ranking?
So Watson's contract this year has been structured to protect him financially in the event of a suspension. And people have noticed that and deduced that it means the Browns are expecting him to be suspended. Now, maybe that's the case, but it could also be the case that they structured the contract in that way as a means of enticing him to sign with them so that they could say, look, if you are suspended for a lot of games this year, you are protected if you sign with us. And I would say that the protection and enticement, all that's great, but I think Watson plays more games this year than people think. Even last year, when he was in a more precarious legal situation than he is now, he wasn't suspended. And he wasn't placed on the commissioner's exempt list. And the league could get itself into some big and unnecessary trouble with the players union if it suspends a player, any player, in this case, Watson, while he has personal legal processes unfolding. So suspensions might not come this year. And most of Watson's cases could be settled out of court with non-disclosure clauses, which means the league wouldn't have anything definitive to point to suspend Watson for. So we know the talent is there with Watson. We don't really need to talk about that. Top 5 fantasy quarterback whenever he's on the field. With my ranking, I am taking 2 positions. One, that he won't be suspended as many games as the market currently thinks. And then 2, if he is suspended some games, I can probably replace enough of his production with whatever quarterback I find on waivers or late in the draft while I am waiting that suspension out to make it worth it whenever he returns. So that is all reflected in my ranking there at number 6.
Now, Derek, your differential, is that based on the potential looming suspension that we have? And if so, what does that do in superflex formats? Because I agree, and Matt just laid it out, and I laid it out. It's very easy to handle this in single quarterback. You draft him, and then you figure it out either on the waiver wire or the late QB. A simple Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins will get the job done for you in the meantime. But in superflex leagues specifically, how would you approach Deshaun Watson's value right now in early drafts?
I think that's, I mean, my ranking reflects just the muddiness around the suspension. But in superflex drafts, I think that the way that I would probably approach Deshaun Watson, some of this depends on league size, and some of this depends on how your draft is flowing. Now, if you're in a superflex draft where people are going very aggressively for quarterbacks, I have no problems taking the shot on the upside to win the league if you're going quarterback heavy early, and then taking some middle round flyers on somebody that's not as sexy, or people where you're going to be piecing together matchups to cover the suspension. Like, you could probably get Mitch Trubisky and, oh God, this is horrible, Drew Locke for nothing, and piece them together until Deshaun Watson comes back. So I think some of this depends on league size, how your draft is flowing. And I say league size because you're not going to have as many quarterbacks drafted in, say, a 10-team league versus 12 or 14, to where I feel fine about the added depth of the quarterback position, to where I would take the upside swing on Deshaun Watson. So trying to add context on a lot of different layers about superflex there, but I have no problems taking the upside swing.
All right, Derek, I want to talk about two other quarterbacks you've got ranked higher than Matt. You've got Jalen Hurts at 7-4 higher and Russell Wilson at 10-4 higher. So talk to me about those two guys and why you feel confident with both of them as top 10 QBs this year.
I mean, Hurts is just rolling it back, baby. Like, we saw this last year. For as much as people want to hate on the guy, and the hate never stops, people just love to hate on Jalen Hurts. But for fantasy purposes, people don't make the distinction in the split and say, okay, well, here's your real life thoughts of him and the ability to play the quarterback position, and here's fantasy. In fantasy, unless you're projecting him to miss games or not make starts, and I said this last year, he's a top 10 quarterback, regardless, based off of what he does with his legs. And last year, he was a top 6, top 7 quarterback in fantasy per game. And that was with dealing with an ankle injury down the stretch that hindered his rushing production. So it's just lock into what he did last year. Heck, if he takes a step forward, he's got more upside than even this ranking denotes right now. So I'm just going to just keep rolling back with Jalen Hurts and just loving every minute of it. And as far as Russell Wilson, I mean, we saw upgrades across the board considering, you know, he goes from a team that I think is going to pass the ball more than Seattle. And honestly, I say upgrades in the sense of Seattle's offensive design. They tried to increase pace. They tried to increase passing rates. And whether it was injuries to Russell Wilson last year or the offense in general, you saw them just sputter out towards the end of the season. Now, in Denver, I think that he's got a really good cast of weapons around him. I think the offensive line is going to be good. The defense is going to put them in some short fields if they play like last year. And if Russell Wilson still has this efficiency magic, which him and Aaron Rodgers must be drinking from the same elixir, because every single year they're near the top of the board in efficiency metrics at the quarterback position. Yeah, I mean, considering all of those parts, yeah, I like him a lot. And I've never been a huge, huge Russell Wilson guy, but I'm probably going to be this year.
Friedman, you've got Trey Lance at 8-6 spots higher than Derek. Trevor Lawrence at 16-6 spots higher than Derek. And then you've got Aaron Rodgers in between those two guys at 12. So Lance at 8, Rodgers at 12, Lawrence at 16. First, I want to take, before we get to Aaron Rodgers, I want to take the two rookie, or she's, I say, let me correct myself, second-year quarterbacks now, Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence. What do you see in their future this year that makes you enthusiastic about drafting them and maybe higher than somebody like Derek Brown has them?
Well, for both guys, it's a bet on upside. For Lance specifically, he was the number 3 pick last year. He's 21 years old as a rookie, so really young. And those guys historically go on to do a lot in the NFL. He's got the strong arm, high rushing floor and ceiling, great head coach who can scheme around him and give him easy completions. And in his 10 quarters of action last year, he had 161 yards rushing. So a high floor, I would say a Jalen Hurts kind of floor. And if he develops his, you know, ceiling, could be really significant. And with Trevor Lawrence, you know, after the top 12 quarterbacks, I'm looking for upside. And I think, you know, Lawrence is an upside candidate. He was great as a prospect, the number one pick, entering his second season when we traditionally see a jump in production. New coaching staff, which is a good thing, at least relative to the situation he was in before. A new wide receiver room. You know, I'm not going to say I'm really super high on Christian Kirk and Zay Jones as the new additions, but I think that room taken as a whole, it offers some potential there. And then you have Travis Etienne, a great receiving back entering the fold. And you have the addition of Evan Engram, who upgrades the tight end position. You put all that together, you know, it's unlikely that Lawrence takes a massive step forward, but I think he has the capability to do it.
All right, then you have Rodgers at 12, five spots higher than Derek. Does Rodgers have the patience at this time in his career to make a star out of a rookie wide receiver? Because we've seen him have a lack of patience, let's just put it kindly, sometimes with some of these guys as they've come into this team the last few years. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, he's had the lack of patience, but he's also always had other guys that he can rely on more. He's not going to have that at this point, well, except for Alan Lazard. But I want to kind of contextualize the loss of Davante Adams and the loss of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. If in a normal game, we got news that Davante Adams was out, it would move the line a point, 2 points, if we're being super aggressive on that. MVS being out, a half a point. I mean, I think like in the big scheme of things, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers minus 1 to 2 points on offense. Even if that happens, he's still a very good quarterback, and the team might take steps in the draft and free agency to replace the production from Adams and MVS. Maybe they add another wide receiver in free agency, Will Fuller, potentially. That would be great. We have Robert Tonyan at tight end returning from injury. So I am still enthusiastic overall about what Aaron Rodgers can do.
Well, if these dissenting opinions weren't enough for you, head over to fantasypros.com/compare and go plug in some of your own using your favorite experts or your least favorite ones. Whatever you want to do, you can at fantasypros.com/compare. And those are the tools that we have. Also, don't forget about our Dynasty Rookie Draft Kit, available now at fantasypros.com/rookie. And when you upgrade to a premium membership at Fantasy Pros, you get the entire rookie draft kit for all of your Dynasty needs. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with that promo code JOEYP. And also, don't forget about Pristine Auction, PristineAuction.com. Pristine Auction, use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $5 credit on your first bid of the most amazing sports memorabilia you ever saw in your whole life. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Matthew Friedman and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.